My dear friends, I want to tell you a little story, although I'm not the storyteller on this show, but it's a story that has an important punchline and a moral to it. In a small town in Old Poden, many years ago, there lived a Jew named Abraham. He was not a wealthy man, for he owned only a small clothing store, and he couldn't compete with the larger stores, which offered better collections of woolens and cottons. But when it came to giving tzedakah, or to offer hospitality, to a wandering Jew passing through the town, there was no one that could compete with him. Be it a collector for a yeshiva or a beggar who went from door to door begging alms, Abraham's wife always could get a decent meal together for the hungry, while Abraham was prepared to give away the last zlotah in the cash box. It was not a leftover meal or a spare zlotah that they gave away, for they often deprived themselves to help others. But nobody knew that Abraham and his wife were making such sacrifices. One day, Abraham had an unexpected and distinguished visitor. It was his own Rebbe, who came to town and chose to honor Abraham with his visit. Though there were richer men who would have been very eager to be host to the Rebbe, for the Rebbe, who lived in a town some distance away, was a famed man. He was famous for his piety and saintliness, and many Jews used to travel long distances to visit him in order to listen to his words of wisdom, or to ask him for a blessing or prayer in times of need. The Rebbe was impressed with the warm hospitality and attention which Abraham showed to him. But his keen eyes did not fail to see that Abraham went far beyond the call of duty in the mitzvah of achnosas orchim, which means hospitality to visitors, and tzedakah, charity. And so before leaving, the Rebbe blessed Abraham to be able to practice these mitzvahs out of ample parnosa, in comfort and riches. Soon after the Rebbe left, Abraham noticed a change in his business affairs, a change for the better. Was it because the Rebbe's visit and stay at his house had made the local community look up to Abraham with greater respect? Or because they suddenly discovered that in Abraham's store they could get a better buy? Be it as it may, customers began to frequent his store in greater numbers, and hardly anyone walked out without making a purchase. Every day brought him better business, and he was now able to increase his stock and offer the best selections at the most reasonable prices. Before long, Abraham became also a wholesaler and one of the largest cloth merchants for many miles and town around. Riches can be as much a test as poverty, but Abraham did not realize this. Somehow, and he did not even notice it, he began to find less and less time for prayer and learning than before. Oh, he became very busy expanding his business and no longer found time to give personal attention to wayfarers and beggars or even yeshiva collectors. He had bookkeepers and clerks to take care of his donations, while he himself was busy in his office and could be seen by special appointment only, reserved for merchants and dealers. Abraham now lived in a beautifully furnished new house with several servants. Beggars were no longer admitted by the servants, so that they would not soil the costly rugs on the floor. They could still get a fairly handsome donation, but the old friendliness and hospitality was gone from Abraham's house. People began to nod their heads with regret, saying to each other, "Ah, Abraham has changed. His riches have turned his head, hardened his heart. What a pity. He used to be such a friendly and kind man, and now look what his riches have done to him." One day, Abraham's secretary informed him that a rabbi wanted to see him. The secretary explained that he had tried to send him away with a sizable donation, but the rabbi insisted on seeing him. Abraham told his secretary to let the rabbi come in. Abraham greeted the rabbi politely. And when the rabbi told him that he was sent to him by their Rebbe, Abraham's face lit up. "I have not forgotten the Rebbe's visit to my house," Abraham said. "Ever since then, my fortune has taken a good turn, and thank God I have done well, as you can see." "In that case, you now have a chance to do something to please the Rebbe," the visitor answered. Thereupon he told Abraham that a special case had come up before the Rebbe, a case of pidyon shvuyim, to ransom a Jew who had been imprisoned on false charges. Abraham quickly took out a substantial sum of money and gave it to the visitor to take to the Rebbe. In olden days, he would have invited the visitor to his house and would have shared a meal with him. He would have also accompanied him to other members of the community to raise more money. But now he was too busy. He apologized to the visitor as he saw him to the door. "Remember me to the Rebbe, please," he said, as he shook hands with him. His mission accomplished, the emissary returned to the Rebbe. The Rebbe questioned him closely about Abraham and his way of life, and it saddened him to think that Abraham had changed so. "Is it possible that my blessing could have been the indirect cause of his change?" the Rebbe wondered. "I must put it right again," he said, and decided to pay a visit to Abraham. This time, the Rebbe stopped at the local inn and sent his gabbai to Abraham's house to find out when he could be visited. It was still early in the morning for Abraham, for a servant opening the door told the visitor that the master was just getting up. The gabbai took a walk and returned a little later, only to be told that the master was drinking coffee. When he returned a third time, he was told that the master was too busy and he should try again this afternoon. When the gabbai brought this message to the Rebbe said, "Come, let's go to Abraham at once." Coming to the door of Abraham's large house, the gabbai let the servant know who wished to see the master, his own Rebbe. The next minute, Abraham rushed to the door and welcomed his Rebbe with joy and respect. "What an honor! What a pleasure!" Abraham exclaimed as he welcomed his Rebbe into his home. The Rebbe entered the spacious living room and began to stroll around, his eyes wandering with interest from one piece of furniture to the other. Abraham was pleased. He mentioned the Rebbe's previous visit to his humble home. "Ha! Quite a change from before, huh, Rebbe?" Abraham said. "Quite a change," the Rebbe agreed meaningful. His face was quite serious. He came up to the window and looked out. "Abraham, come here a minute," the Rebbe called out, and Abraham quickly came up to the window. "Who is that man walking there?" the Rebbe asked. "Ah, that's Yankel the tailor," Abraham replied, adding, "A pious Jew never misses going to the shul every morning. Unfortunately, he is very poor." "And who is that woman carrying an empty basket?" "Ah, that's a poor widow going to market, hoping to earn something, and often returning home with an empty basket. Aye, poor woman. And a house full of orphans, too. Sad case." "And who is that man over there?" the Rebbe continued to ask. "Oh, that's Bensi the water carrier. He's getting old, poor man. I'm afraid he won't be able to carry water much longer." Abraham began to wonder why the Rebbe has become so interested in the passers-by. He was not a man of idle curiosity. The Rebbe turned away from the window and began to pace the large living room again. Then he stopped at the large cut-glass mirror that covered the wall over the fireplace. He moved aside and beckoned Abraham to come up to the mirror. "Look into the mirror, Abraham. Whom do you see there?" "Why, myself, of course," Abraham replied, puzzled. "Tell me, Abraham, what is the mirror made of?" "Glass, of course." "And the window pane?" "Also of glass, naturally." "Strange, isn't it, Abraham? The mirror is glass. Why then, looking out the window, you see other people, but looking into the mirror, you see only yourself?" "This is quite simple," Abraham explained. "The window pane is clear through and through, and is therefore transparent. A mirror, on the other hand, is coated with silver on the reverse side, which darkens that side and does not permit the light to get through. That is why I can only see myself in it and nothing beyond that glass." I see, the Rebbe said. "The same piece of glass, if not coated with silver, is clear through and through. But if coated with silver, it becomes darkened on one side, and you see only yourself. Extraordinary, isn't it? Yet, I suppose, it is possible to scrape off the silver. Then you can again see through it. Isn't it so, my friend?" "Yes, indeed. But, Abraham did not finish his sentence. suddenly it dawned on him what the wise and saintly Rebbe was hinting at. A man is like a piece of glass made of sand. It all became clear to Abraham. Before he was coated with silver, he could see everybody. But now that he had become rich, he could see only himself. Abraham felt a deep sense of shame and remorse. His eyes welled up with tears as he turned to the Rebbe. I've been foolish and wicked. I've failed in the test. Is there any hope for me, Rebbe? Help me, please. This is why I've come, Abraham. I did not want to believe that you could have changed so until I saw it with my own eyes. Gold and silver are a great temptation, and if one is not careful, can turn one's heart into stone. I hope it will not be necessary to scrape off the silver to take away your wealth, but you have to return to your good old way of tzedakah and hospitality, but more generously, of course, in accordance with your ability. I will, Abraham promised solemnly. That same evening there was a great feast at Abraham's house, to which everybody was invited, especially the poor. Abraham stood up and begged everybody's forgiveness for the way he had treated them since he had become rich. From now on, he promised, his house and his heart would be open to all who needed help. Late that night, after everybody was gone, Abraham took a knife and went up to the mirror. In a corner of it, he scraped off the silver, so that it would always remind him not to see only himself. And when people would ask him, why is the silver scraped off that expensive mirror? Abraham would tell them simply and sincerely the lesson which the mirror had taught him. And so, my dear friends, I'm sure that I don't have to elaborate on the lesson that I want to teach you. The mitzvah of tzedakah, hospitality, kindness and generosity, to think of the needs of your fellow men. No matter how much silver God blessed you and gold you have, it doesn't mean anything. You have to be able to see not only yourself, but see someone else who is in trouble and who is in need. And if you will respond this way to your fellow men, Almighty God will respond to you in that same vein, and he will shower upon you his blessings of health and wealth and naches and everything that you ask of him above, materially and spiritually. Give and give with a happy heart. Give and give with an open hand. And give until it hurts. Even if it hurts. But that's the time you'll know that you have given the way God wants you to give. All of you have a wonderful week. And until Amir Hashem next week at the same time, God bless you all.
Thank you, Rabbi Hecht. You have been listening to Rabbi Jacob J. Hecht on Shema Yisrael Radio Network. This has been a Jewish Media Enterprises production.